I was reading the Psalms where it says he holds our tears in a bottle. And that's what gave me that idea. And Amanda helped me write that song. And I don't think there's a person in here that hasn't been touched by a loved one that has gone through a difficult time. And that's difficult for everybody. But I was thinking, I did a lot of recording at night down in Mexico because it gets cold at night and it was hot during the day. So that's me at like 2 a.m. So please be kind. Okay. But I was thinking of, you know, God remembers for us. And those memories and things that we may forget here, but for the child of God, it's not gone. The things we do for Christ, it's forever. And so that's encouraging, and I hope that was encouraging to you. Tonight I am not going to be preaching as such, and I ask permission to make sure this is okay. But we are very excited to present to you our missions report. We went down for just under 6 months to Mexico, and I stayed up till 4:30 in the morning. I do a lot of late night stuff, okay? And Friday night into Saturday morning to finish this up specifically for Calgary. All right, so this is prepared especially for you. And after it, my wife is going to come up. Is she here? There you are. And we'll take a few questions, and then we'll go ahead with the Lord's table tonight. I'm glad we could be here for this night. It'll be special. But I hope it'll be a blessing to you, and we want to express our gratitude. We'll do that more after. But are we set? I gave them all kinds of confusing DVDs, and the tech people are right on top of it, so I appreciate that. Good to go? Thumbs up.
Well, we are really excited to be able to share with you a report on our missions trip that we took to Mexico that lasted just under 6 months. And we'll do it in two parts. The first part will kind of focus on life in Mexico. And we'll start off here with the market. And this was really a major place to get your fresh fruits and vegetables. And you could get clothes there if you wanted, and shoes and batteries and just all kinds of different things. There you see Amanda getting some of the fresh fruits and vegetables that we were able to eat. And you'd also have people who would set up their stands, and you could just eat right there at the market. And our kids really enjoyed that. Well, we all enjoyed that, and everyone kind of came up with their favorites, places and things to eat. And worked out great. You can see the wonderful tacos just cooked right there in front of you. In fact, here's a gentleman we got to know a little bit down there at the market. He'd be there every week and grilling the sandwiches, the steak meat. I'll tell you what, that meat is just so good and grilled right there in front of you. And he had just said there, I wonder if I'll end up on National Geographic as I'm videotaping him. I did ask his permission. And I'll tell you what, those sandwiches were really, really good. I can't believe I lost weight down there. But just really, really good. For those of you who want to hit a food court, believe it or not, here you go, the University Plaza. You can see here, it looks a lot like a food court, and it is food court. A lot of good stuff here. If it wasn't in Spanish, it would look a lot like something you'd find. Well, look at there, Subway. For those of you who want to eat fresh, there you go. La Especial right next to it, a favorite of my mom and dad-in-law there. If you do want to actually get a mall fix, believe it or not, Aguascalientes is the richest city per capita in the nation of Mexico. And here you go, a three-story mall. That whole store is full of shoes for you ladies. And there are all kinds of stores in that as you go up and down the escalators. Old Town or Centro, Aguascalientes here. You can see some of the older buildings that are there. And really, for all the traffic that's there, people drive, I wouldn't say, well, courteously. It's kind of hard to explain. You have to drive on purpose. My father-in-law says you have to drive offensively instead of defensively. You have to be proactive in how you drive down there. But it kind of makes sense. I don't know what that means about me. Maybe I've got Latin blood. Oh, wait. Yes, I do. The driving actually made sense to me down there when you split three lanes and have five lanes going on, or six sometimes. Just made sense. But there you can see some of the beautiful architecture there. And down some of the side streets, you'll have these little stores. Some look more modern, some not so much so. But you can get just about anything, including your fabric, if you need fabric from any of the fabric stores that are there. And Here's Amanda looking for some fabric to recover an old chair that needed recovery.
Can she walk with you?
Yeah, if she wants to.
Grandma, I guess he's right outside.
So where are we?
The material store.
The material store.
For any kind of material you want, and where you are in the furniture and curtain section.
Huh?
Fill it. No, this one. What do you think of that color?
It's nice.
Instead of pink.
Yes.
But remember, the whole chair would feel like that. And then there's another one over here.
Talking about recovering a chair, right?
Yeah.
So apparently here in Mexico, you can recover old chairs and make them new again.
Here's the...
Yes, amazing what you can do there. You can do it other places, too, but for the price, you can't beat it. In fact, that's El Barato, the cheap. They want you to know that if you want to get your fabric, go there, because they'll beat any price. But you can meet people just up and down the street, people with places to go. Some people just pick out a spot and actually beg all day. That's what they do. That's their spot. It's quite a contrast to see business people on the same street there with just the poorest of the poor there in Centro. But focusing on the town outside of the main city, San Francisco de los Romo, or San Pancho for short, it's also well known for carnitas, which are it's basically roast pork. It's called San Francisco de las Carnitas by a lot of the folks throughout the country, actually. It's known. These aren't carnitas. These are tacos de pastor in my favorite restaurant, Rosie's.
Nunions? What are nunions?
Onions.
Nunions?
Onions. Ouch. Hot onions.
Hot onions.
Happy.
Just watching that makes me want some of those. That's incredible. I had to slow this video down so you could see it, but in the right-hand corner behind Amanda, you can see how they would roast this. They put that they pack this marinated pork onto a big spit and then turn it vertically, and that fire comes out of the side there, and they roast it on that spit, which is pretty incredible, and just tastes wonderful. And as he kind of uses his knife to shave off parts of pork, they just fall down there on the grill, the flat part there, and then that's where you get your tacos from. And the tacos were incredible, simple, and actually pretty healthy. I mean, the meat's thoroughly cooked, and of course, my father-in-law living there for so long knows the places that you can go. Just about anywhere in San Pancho is going to be fine to eat there, and we certainly did our fair share of eating at that place, my favorite restaurant in the world, Rosie's. Love to talk more about that, but we're going to move on now to the ministry portion.
Down the street here in San Pancho, they have a Native Indian dance. I'll tell you, I don't know a whole lot about it. I do know that within the dance they have the devil and death battling in the midst. And it's just a solemn reminder, even in the midst of all the culture that I'm really enjoying getting to know, that there is multitudes of people who don't know who Jesus Christ is, don't know who God really is, and they're stuck in the memories of the past and the cultures that have been passed down to them. So it is interesting to watch, fascinating to watch even, but also there's a sadness to it because these are people that don't know deliverance and the nature of the gospel. Take a look. Thank you.
For the casual observer, rituals such as these are interesting and enjoyable to watch. There's certainly nothing wrong with getting to know the culture of a people you're trying to reach. But if you take a moment longer to think a little deeper, you begin to realize what ceremonies like these mean for the people who only have these empty rituals in their spiritual lives. For them, these drums signify the emptiness they have, unless the glorious light of the gospel is brought to them. For me, it causes me to be both grateful for the gospel as well as motivated to share it with others. The answer for the things going on in the nation is the same as it is here at home in our own country, and that is the gospel going forth from local churches that are planted to share the gospel with those around them. And the truth is still the truth. The best way to win souls to Christ is from indigenous people coming to know Christ and sharing that with others. And so we wanted to encourage as many local churches as we could. There's a good number of local churches there that have been established for a number of years now. They're in various stages of growth and development. This is one out in rural Lázaro Cárdenas, and I was able to minister out there a number of times. And this is their Christmas service, so this was early when we had just gotten there. But I was able also to teach several different choirs in different locations, and then they combine together for an Easter program. And this is me directing one of those groups. You can't see everybody because the room is too small to fit everyone in the picture, but you can see me dealing with or leading and instructing, doing my best in Spanish there.
Sin caricaturas,
sin Mickey Mouse. Serio, hay iglesias cuando yo. Por el servicio en la mañana, era un hermano con Looney Tunes.
One of the needs back in San Pancho is for that local church plant to have a place of their own. And we were praying for that. And while we were there, after a month or a month and a half, my father-in-law found this building that just turned out to be wonderful. And it was an answer to prayer, and the Lord answered the prayer while we were there. And they now rent this building for the church. And so what a wonderful thing for our family to pray that the Lord would provide for a place to have the church plant and institute. And there's Darren standing there. And then to see it transformed, ta-da, right there, look at that, into a local church plant. And we did a lot of, this really became the center of our ministry life. Even though we would go to other local churches to help, this was really the main purpose ministry-wise that we went down to help this local church plant. And many people came from other churches to the Monday Night Institute, and we had a number of young people that made it all the way through and received their certificate on the last day. And also I taught them how to sing some harmony, and you'll hear that at the end. But it was such a privilege to be able to teach anyone that would listen, and that was everybody. They would come. Here's me at another church, as we were able to minister there, and also had a studio set up. You can see me there in one of the buildings on the property, a temporary studio set up, and able to get a lot of music recorded. But it's about meeting people, and from different churches, encouraging them. Being in their homes, fellowshipping with them, encouraging them in the things of the Lord. Here's Amanda and I with a pastor and his wife, just spending time encouraging them, laughing a little bit, and help building them up to stand strong in the faith. And what a privilege that was to be able to do that. And that really is what we do here at home, travel around and try to edify and build up these local churches.
What in this box? Okay, dormir. Descanso.
We're so grateful for the opportunity that we had as a family to go down for 6 months, and so many prayed and gave towards this project. And most of the ministry that occurred, we can't put in video or photography
or photos we can't show you. It's spiritual things that were accomplished. But here's one thing, for example. I was able to teach some voice lessons that Amanda translated for me. And one young lady who is unsaved and really unchurched came to that. And, of course, where are the voice lessons held? Well, they're held in the church. So she came and her mother came. And so they've been introduced to the church building, which is a big deal, believe it or not. I mean, it's that way here in the States, too. A visitor coming to a strange place that they don't understand or they don't know what goes on in there. And that's just a small step forward to familiarize them to the church, and so they can hear the message of the gospel, the message of salvation. But we were able to minister in a number of churches and have services, several services at one church in particular, and to just be able to encourage them and edify them, build them up, and teach them further doctrine and come alongside so that they will be encouraged to reach their own people. What a wonderful opportunity, a wonderful privilege we had to be able to do that. Take a listen now to the students of the Oasis Baptist Bible Institute singing Bow the Knee. TNTI is, I took that off the YouTube video, and we went down with Amanda's parents, as most of you know, and that is their ministry, so that's why that was on there. But as Amanda's coming, we'll just take a couple of questions. The number one thing I was thinking as I was editing the video and putting it together, the Lord just keeps expanding our heart, and one of the challenges an evangelist family face is that you're always saying hi to new people, but you're always leaving people and saying goodbye all the time. So right now I'm like, oh, got to go back there. We just left, you know. And but anyway, is there a couple questions that anyone would like to ask at this point? Besides my son. This is, I'll share, I don't see anybody yet, but I'll share this with you that I was able to lose 23 pounds while I was down there. And some of you privately have come to me and said, Brother Ben, how are you doing on that weight? You know, and I appreciate that. I don't always appreciate it in the moment, but I appreciate it later. But it's just you do a lot more walking, and you're walking everywhere, and the food, honestly, is healthier. And you drink a lot more water, and it just happens that way. I also got a parasite while I was down there, and that helped. We won't. No questions about that. But anyone have any questions? I thought I saw a hand over there. Yes. Good question. He asked, how well do you think you picked up Spanish? Sometimes when you plan something, when you go down or you try to put that plan into action, things change. And there was an individual down there that we were planning on him being my private tutor one-on-one in the Spanish language. And through several situations, none of our own doing, but on his end, he was not able to do that. So about 4 weeks in, after the Christmas break, we had to decide, what are we going to do with this trip? And so instead of me sitting in a room with one person learning Spanish the entire time, we decided that I was going to learn Spanish on the fly. So we just scheduled a bunch of churches and got around as many churches as possible. And we went out to eat a lot, which you do, and you talk. And I just met people, meeting people. And so my Spanish is very conversational. I was able to preach several times off Spanish manuscript. I was encouraged, my own, that I came up with, okay? Not some, my wife didn't write it for me. She could, but
I was very encouraged to be able to actually talk with people. And I can't think of a whole lot of mistakes that I made except for telling people I worked out a little bit at a gymnasium that was down the road. And I accidentally told the people that my father-in-law didn't live on that street, but he lived in the street. And they felt really bad for him there because my father-in-law lived in the street. But I corrected it. Anyone else? Anything that you want to add to be thinking of that, too, if you want to?
Well, I was going to say for his Spanish, he did pick up more than he thinks he did. But he's got to work on the verbs. So it's one thing, you know, picking up conversational Spanish, if you were to go down with him or go with him somewhere, he picked up a lot. Because I know a lot of people are interested in that question, because we went down for a lot for that. And he really picked up quite a bit, and we were all very excited. And my kids did, too. But my dad actually has made some materials for him to even work on while we're here, and I can help him with that on verbs, because they are very difficult, and there's about 110 conjugations for each verb, so they're a lot of work.
She paid me I think it was a compliment, but I was teaching voice lessons. There were several times when I was directing choir, and the translator didn't show up. So I'm here with a two-hour choir rehearsal, and that forces you to learn. So I just was like, hey, what's this word, what's this word, what's it? And then putting it together. But Amanda told me, she said, I've never heard anyone speak so much Spanish not using any verbs. I was putting nouns and things together and all this type of stuff. But also, I do want to say this, and I'll take your question, is that it is online. I didn't bring it tonight. I didn't think of it. But I was able to record a couple songs in Spanish, and one of the reasons I wanted to learn Spanish was to get the accent correctly for Spanish music. Because it's one thing to just read Spanish words and set to music. It's another thing to actually sing that with a believable accent. And so in that regard, I've been told that I did a good job. Sometimes I think she flatters me a little bit, but
I coached you.
She coached me, yes. And so it's nice having that right at home. Yes, sir.
Our greatest challenge.
I'll let you answer that in a moment. Our greatest challenge is, we're pointing at, our greatest challenge is, no. My greatest challenge personally actually was the altitude at first, because it's higher than Denver. And so when we first went down there about the first week at night, I had trouble breathing because the altitude was so high and the oxygen levels low. And we came down with really severe, both of us had really severe colds that we had picked up somewhere traveling. So when we went down, I had some panic attacks, you know, and any of you have experienced those, you know, they're not fun. And of course, your reaction, you want to get out. Well, I'm in the center of Mexico. You know, I'm not getting out anywhere. So that was a good faith test for me. That was probably the biggest initial struggle that I had. But after about a week and a half, your body adjusts. And then I got in better shape as well. So that helped.
I would say another practical challenge probably at the beginning was, you know, as he said, things don't work out the way you expect. No. And we had expected to be in our own little, it was little, but it was a house. And that kind of, it didn't work out. And so we ended up living with my parents. And at first, you know, that seemed like it might have been a big challenge, because that's 6 months of two families living in the same home all the time. But it was so good. I mean, my parents did an amazing job. And they kind of gave us half the house, and they took half the house, and we all were in the kitchen all the time. We ate together, but sometimes we ate separately, and they were just very casual about it. You know, we bought some things together and some things apart, and it worked out so well. The Lord was very, very good. And so that did seem like it was going to be a great challenge. So at first, it caused a lot of anxiety. but
I think it was also,
it worked out so well.
I was going to say, I think we were an encouragement to them. Amanda's parents have been on the field for a good number of years. 23 years. And I think us coming with the grandkids and everything and just providing some fresh energy and such just really helped. And we saw people get saved. I didn't personally lead anyone to the Lord, but people that they had been working on in the neighborhood and such got saved while we were there. It was just really special.
Yeah, go ahead. Because the building that they rented, they've had that church plant for 2 years. And the Lord just hadn't provided a building. And it was just one family who they've been struggling to try to help because they don't have enough money to feed themselves. So, of course, they didn't have extra money to put into any kind of thing. My parents pay right now for everything, as most missionaries often do. And it's a challenge. And but the Lord provided that. And the Bible Institute was there, as he said. We had voice lessons there, and we had so many different things there. We've had special days at the church. We had one of the first special days that they had had with, you know, pastel, cake and drink and everything. And we invited visitors. And more people have visited because it's not in my father's home anymore. It is now in a separate building. It's on the main street. So that was a big answer to prayer, because that wasn't just, they've just had a church plant for a couple months and they got the building. It's been years. And it's a tough town they're in.
9 different missionaries or other people have tried to start a church there, but it's so staunchly Roman Catholic that anyone who trusts Christ is instantly ostracized and their family disowns them. So.
And I'm not sure of a funny story.
Oh, yeah, funny story. That's what we were going to close with here, huh? A funny story. My father-in-law lives in the street, probably the funniest, you know, different things like that. I did order 500 hot peppers instead of 5. Yeah, I'm like 500. And everyone in the restaurant, you know. But people, there's little funny things that come along because I will darken up and I look, because I'm half Latino, so I'll look the part, whereas she doesn't. So they'll come up and they'll talk to me, you know, and I, by the end I could catch it, but I could talk back. But I'll have to think and get back with you personally about something hilarious. But, well, yes.
My health. My epilepsy was fine. I did fine on it. I actually had to switch. They were the same medicines, but the styles I used down there are a little different. And everything seemed to be fine, except made me sleepier. But we got sick. I got sick right before we went down to Mexico. And then the day we crossed the border, we had re-caught it after we had traveled from here down to there. And I coughed for 3 weeks. And then I re-caught it again. And that time we got real flu. You know, you get a cold or something. But this was flu. And we had fevers for a couple of days. And we kind of laugh about it. And we say that we think our body found out, you know, said, oh, yes, we're not traveling. So we can be sick and we don't have to worry about missing meetings. Because we were sick quite a bit at the beginning. But it wasn't particularly the country, it was colds, and it just seemed like once we stopped, our bodies kind of crashed and then came up. So that at first was a challenge too, because
I think she's allergic to me.
We got pretty sick for a little bit, but it was not water and it wasn't anything like that. It was actual flu. And but once that passed, we did very well, and I did very well, and the kids, praise the Lord, did not get any of it. They got some sniffles, and that was all through the whole time we were there. And so the Lord was very gracious in that area.
Well, thank you so much for your prayers. We enjoyed our time down there, and I know we want to move on to the Lord's table now, but we can't express to you how grateful we are, because you as a church family really stood behind us to go down there and minister to those folks, and we just appreciate it so much. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Amen. Well, thank you, Ben and Amanda. Wasn't that encouraging? I think it was a good investment, don't you? God's leading them to go down there and make those connections, and you just see a broadening and a deepening of the ministry that God's given to them. And I know for our church family, Ben, you guys are a huge encouragement to us. Whenever we see young people who've been part of this church family and then go on for God, active in other Bible-believing churches, missionaries, pastors, laymen. It just brings huge joy to our heart, doesn't it? This is what we pray for, is fruit that will remain. And I think of the fact that we are privileged to have a part in all of these ministries that God continues to do. I was thinking, Ben, as you were sharing about the fact that you want the local church family. And I appreciated the message this morning. Thank God for a building. We are more than a building. We're a people. But it's great to have a place to worship and gather. And I thought of what was going on this last week with the Triple C basketball camps and just people coming into our building who wouldn't normally be here, but they come because of a special event, a music training seminar. I thought of the fact that we've been blessed to just make our facilities, and sometimes it's a cost. It's extra maintenance is extra, and sometimes some sacrifices for our own convenience. But we've had driver's ed classes use our building. Well, there's people all over Midland. They know where Calvary Baptist Church is because their parents dropped them off for driver's ed here. And we are looking into having our building perhaps used as a polling place. We want to be a community-friendly place where people realize they care about folks over there. They're not just all about themselves, but they want to minister to our whole community. And I thank God for that heart and the open doors God gave to Brother Ben. And the open doors God has given us. God's been good to us as a church, and he's given us many opportunities. And keep praying for those open doors that God will continue to open doors for the planting of Bible-believing churches around the world. And our church, with having Christian education here, we're especially blessed with opportunities to help. I liked seeing what I saw in the bulletin today again. We want to encourage homeschool families, Christian families who've chosen to homeschool, but we can partner with them and offer some classes that will help their students. We want to do everything we can to build strong families, strong homes, and reach people for Christ. And then seeing indigenous local churches, self-governing, Bible-based churches planted all over the world. That's God's plan. I will build my church. Well, the outworking of that is evidenced through local bodies of believers gathered. And what we're doing here is exactly what's happening all around the world. And another blessing I received this last week was just being reminded we had another vote in the council to give away property. And Dr. Gary Anderson just shared that over the years, it's been the privilege of Baptist Missions and other similar independent Bible-based mission agencies, but he was speaking particularly Baptist Missions, of buying properties around the world, developing a ministry around that church or that Bible college or whatever, and then giving it away. Voting to give that property now to a organized group of nationals who then continue that ministry on. And the exciting thing about it is, in different parts of the country or world, as you know, they'll have rebellions, they'll have rebels come in, they'll have coups. And all the Americans have to leave. But that concept of planting indigenous local churches works. Because when all the Americans leave, and there's local churches and Bible colleges and ministries now that were developed, given back to the nationals, the Americans leave and the ministries continue right on. And that's a thrill. We heard and saw a video from a missionary by the name of Dannenberg, who's in the Central African Republic. And that's the field that Baptist Good Missions has been there for 80 years. Well, the fruit of that, it's like Peru. A lot of the churches that Tim Chapman works with in down in South America are on a field where Baptist Missions and other Bible-based missionaries have been for years. And that's why now they have Bible colleges and they're at that next level of nationals being the pastors and nationals doing the work of the ministry. And it was very interesting to watch in CAR. He shared that this last term they had, rebels took over the nation, and this happens. And boy, you talk about appreciating missionaries, literally put their lives on the line. He shared, well, God gives grace in different ways to different people. And one couple that was with them, it was very dangerous. They were aware it was dangerous, and they just did not have the peace to stay, and they came off the field. And that's okay. There are times when you need to do that. Well, Vandenbergs had been there like their whole life, and they knew these people, and they just didn't have peace to leave. So they stayed. And they have a video of the day the rebels came to their missionary compound. And you could hear the guns going off. They had no idea. And from time to time, and he said the rebels are like locusts. They come in, And they just take everything that they can. They want to see all your money. They want to see everything you have. And they take anything of value. If you resist them at all, they kill you on the spot. And they didn't know what would happen. The rebels came in. They took their money. They took the car keys of the vehicles. And then he shared that in the providence of God, one of their leaders over them came in and said, "What are you doing here? These are Americans. You're not supposed to bother the Americans." And so one of the people there had the wisdom to say to him, "Could you ask them to give us our keys back?" But he didn't ask for the money back because they can come back later at another time. And they did get their keys back for their vehicles. All their money was gone. And they had seven different Bible institutes going in the nation. And they were indigenous. They're run by the nationals. And some of them had to close down for a few weeks. But many of them are back operating now and continuing on in spite of a coup and in spite of rebels coming in. So it's just exciting to be part of worldwide missions, that our church is able to support missions around the world. And I believe in supporting Ben and Amanda, it really gives us a broader vision of what God's doing right to our south here in Mexico. And we pray for just a far greater work in the days ahead. And I want to say just a word of encouragement, too, to our church to keep that vision. We'll be getting back to you on our strategic planning, but we've been praying together and we survey our congregation regularly of how can we do a better job. And I was encouraged just this morning. We were about to leave and the Wrights pulled in behind us. And I don't know if they're here tonight because they've been on the road. They're here. Okay, good to see you, Brother Tim. Tim and Rochelle back from Niger. And he was telling me, he said, "Well, we were on the road coming back and we were listening to Calvary Baptist on the radio." But he said there was a guy singing and I didn't recognize his voice. And I got to thinking, oh, yeah, on the radio, it's a week delay. On the web, it's live. So I said, "Oh, that was Joe Everson." So we had another Everson today. And we are thankful for radio, how it connects us. Well, we had a visitor here today and I didn't meet him personally, but Dana was telling me. The visitor said, "You know, I've been watching Calvary Baptist Church on the web. And I've been watching the church service. I go to another denomination. But you guys are really into the Bible." And he said, "You guys love the Bible. That's what I want." And he was here today because of the web ministry. So God just is using. He's using radio. He's using web. He's using all these different things. And I just want to encourage our church family not to grow weary in well-doing. Because God is blessing our work. And it's His work. But we're privileged to partner with God. And we're privileged to partner with the Eversons. We love you guys. We thank God for you. We have prayed for you. And this was a great report tonight, a very encouraging report to our whole church family. Well, you know, in the communion passage, I'll just share one verse at the very beginning of that chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul says this little phrase, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." And again, Paul wasn't saying I'm perfect, but he was saying, "I truly am a born-again follower of Jesus. And as I follow Jesus, I want others to follow me in following Jesus." And I'm thankful for that heart that we heard expressed tonight from Ben and Amanda. They are seeking to follow Jesus and then to influence others to follow them as they follow Jesus. Well, really, that's how we all should be envisioning God work in my heart so that you can work through my heart. Work in my life that you might bring a blessing. And then out of that blessing, let it overflow and let me reach out and touch other people for Christ and have grace to say to them, "Follow me as I follow Christ. I'm not doing it perfectly, but the best I know, I'm sincere. And as I follow Jesus, the good things you see in my life, follow those things, imitate those things." And I just want to encourage us all tonight as we come to the communion. What is this reminding us of? We have a risen Savior. As we heard this morning, we have a Savior who wants us to be on the defense, to defend the faith and speak the truth and not compromise with the culture. On the other hand, we have a Savior who went on the offense. He came to seek and to save those that are lost. And as we follow Him, we'll be doing both. We'll speak the truth in love. We won't compromise the message, but we will love people with all of our hearts. We'll love God with all of our hearts. And we'll ask the Holy Spirit, "Lord, give me a growing boldness, a growing confidence in what I believe in Christ, and my knowledge of Him, my hope in Him, that it just overflows. And that we then take the offense, not out of a duty, but out of a love, out of a genuine Holy Spirit burden. We reach out to people around us, for people need the Lord. And as we heard this morning, yes, in parts of the world, it's a lot slower work. You go to Japan, you go to certain parts of the world, it takes years to build relationships and see a few converts. Other parts of the world, people's hearts are much more open. And we heard a report at Baptist Mid-Missions of a ministry to the gypsies in Romania. And it's a people who've been an outcast people. And some missionaries have gone in there. They planted the gospel and folks are responding. Hearts are open. And so where is the light needed? On every field, in every soil. The hard soil needs the light. The more open soil needs the light. We just need to let the Holy Spirit lead each of us. And thank you, Ben, for reminding us today that all of us have our own mission field. We have people we meet, experiences that we have every week that are God-given divine appointments. And so, Lord, help us to be sensitive to redeem those opportunities and not to be afraid to ask people, do you know for sure where you'd go if you died? Could I share some information with you from the Bible on how you can know? Because it's amazing how many people they don't know. And they haven't stopped to really consider until maybe somebody comes across their path that plants that seed. And may we be the ones that do that and follow up on that as God builds His church.